Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It was just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I'll tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man.
Yes, and welcome to the Donegal GAA podcast with Ocean FM. Paddy McGill here, looking ahead to Donegal and Tyrone Celtic Park in Derry. Hopefully, it's going to be Fortress Celtic Park. That one at 2 o'clock this Sunday. We barely had time to catch our breath with the new format, new structure that I think we're still 12 months on, still getting used to. One man I'm very used to looking at and talking to is the wonderful Oni McGarvey, who is, of course, from the Nivora Club and been involved with Donegal underage teams over the past couple of seasons. Good evening, Oni, and congratulations. A new arrival, I'm led to believe.
Thanks, Paddy. Yeah, a new arrival about 10 or 11 days ago there now, so a bouncing baby boy, so we're delighted.
So that's 2 and 11 months, is it?
No, definitely not, Paddy, no. The wee girl, she'll be 4 in July, so it's not too bad. She's helping us. She's a good help.
I thought you told me before you had 2 in a year. I was going, here, what is the story there? Like,
where does a man get the time to be at that?
The question on everybody's lips, will the child be Dunlow or Nivora?
Paddy, I am very surprised that you asked that question. I think you know the answer.
The Rosses is red and white.
Paddy, you will be giving a close eye on it, along with a lot of other people, because a lot of my text messages were, you know, that ended with that, but we'll see, that's all I'll say.
Oh, you know what, sports just, it's a lifetime of misery. Like, I'm just too obsessed with too many sports, and it's just let you down all the time now. Didn't let us down last weekend, and that's probably...
Hey, he might be an Irish dancer, and he might have peace. He might be better off.
All joking aside, once they're healthy and happy, that's always number one. Listen, congratulations. And a very special guest this evening, for the first time ever on the Donegal GAA podcast, Stephen Griffin, in my opinion, before we get a low from him, one of the best club players of my lifetime in Donegal. Of course, All-Ireland winner with Donegal in 2012 as well. Good evening, Stephen. Of course, player manager as well with the Inver Club. How are you, Stephen?
Yes, Paddy. How are you? Very good now. Thank you.
I marked you. I think I told you before at a wedding. I marked you. You were probably about 4 years of age. I was about 18 in a reserve game. I would say it was the only time you ever played reserve. And I always tell the lads, you got 5 points from playoff me in the space of about 4.5 minutes. I don't think that's ever been done before. So I think I set you off in your wonderful career.
I remember that, Paddy. I think it was my first ever reserve game. To be fair, that is before the sweepers came in. So maybe you're just unfortunate.
No protection. Only he's a very humble man. Only I think there's only one time ever somebody from the St. Noll's Club told me that he actually didn't score in a game. And he said, I think it was after Rag Week in Galway or something like that. Only we talk about the greats for various clubs. In our draw, we would look at the likes of Damien Dever, the Higgerties from Leith Columba, John Joe Doherty, you know, so many other clubs, Anthony Thompson, Leith Connell, the list goes on and on. Martin Caulfield, Narossa, every club is somebody. Stephen Griffin, only one of the all-time great club players in Donegal. Would you agree?
Oh, totally. Hey, he might be laughing now because we had some great battles down through the years with St. Noll's and that, and I mean, Brian Gillespie used to get up close and personal. They used to have good battles and that, but oh, definitely, sure. Every time you, back in the day, it was you would look at the papers. Now it's you're looking at it on the phone. But sure, Stephen's name had 7, 8, 9 points after it every day went out. And
yeah, it's never one. It's never even 2 or 3. It's always like 1.
No. It was always because of coming close to the double figures. And I'm not just saying that. Anybody who watches who's been involved in club football and doing all this 20 years knows that. And funny enough, his dad marked me in an intermediate final in 1994, Paddy. And then I came up against Stephen and Barry then in 2013. So that's a queer span, but good lads, good people.
Stephen might come up against your son playing for Donlow. Stephen, just quickly, Stephen, the shift from playing to managing, and obviously you're still playing, just on the managing, how are you finding that so far?
Not too bad. It wasn't something that I particularly was looking for. We were kind of badly stuck at the start of last year, and being one of the older people on the team, it kind of just fell on me, you know. And we had a very bad year the year before, so we tried to steady the ship, and we got that steadied a wee bit last year, and now kind of 1 year seems to roll into the other. I don't know how you get out of these things then, and that's something I need to find out. But it's going okay. Listen, it's not a major change for me. I actually don't find it a major change on match days and that, because I have plenty of help. Like, and it is what it is, and you just have to get on with it and try to keep the ship on the road as best you can. Just
some brilliant footballers love football, and I know this might sound silly, but there's even Premiership players that actually play the game, but they may not necessarily absolutely love the game. Ben White, actually, from Arsenal, said recently he doesn't watch any football. He's no mad interest in football. Alan Hansen was actually the same, and he ended up in the BBC. You get the same in Gaelic games. We all know people are obsessed. Now, are you a big studier of Gaelic football anyway?
Probably too much to my detriment, to be honest. Yeah, you know, your headspace is filled a lot of the time of it, but that's just the way it is, and that's the way I was kind of since I was young. And I don't know whenever the cut will come eventually, but I can see I could be me and only on the sidelines at under 10s, maybe St. Al's against Dunlow or something like that. <Down the line.
laughs> keep hitting them with these comments.
Paddy, this is going to go viral, you know, this is going to go viral.
Well, I can't tell you, there's more people listening this year with McGuinness back than every other year combined, so there are a lot
don't
of
tell
people.
Me that.
Yeah, only McGarvey, Dunlow. Stephen, 3 players from your own club representing Donegal now. I think for any club, it could be a club winning club all Ireland's to have 3 players. I remember back in the early nods, our draw had Brendan Boyle, Damien Duvery, Eamon Doherty. It was just so, so special having, you know, I think a club is brilliant to have 1 county player, but 3. And I just remember going to league games home and away that time. And like, I'm a mad Donegal fan, but you know, when I was living at home, obviously got to all the our draw games. It was brilliant seeing these lads from your own parish representing Donegal as well, representing the club. Gavin Mulroney, Brendan McCall, and Pater Morgan from your club, Stephen. It's that extra bit special. I was very proud of them in the club.
Oh yeah, immensely. You know, it's something that the three of them lads kind of came up through underage together, and the three of them would be very close friends even outside of football. And they obviously would have come into my kind of, and I would started playing them maybe say 2017, I'd say Brendan, or maybe Brendan was a wee bit before that, then Patter and Gavin came up. And you don't really realise it, but it's a special thing for our club now, the three of them, because we're obviously only a small club and we don't have a big history or list of county players. And to have 3 of them and the calibre that they're at too, and behind it all then, the people that they are, you know, they're I couldn't speak more. I'd speak more so how good of people they are and how much time I'd have them. And that's not even counting the football. Like, they're three good fellas. Like, and that shines through on, you know, I'm sure, you know, when Jim got his hands on the 3 of them, he probably, you know, you have Brendan and Patter that are just, you know, the anything they do, they can do it. And Gavin then got, we got him back from Finn Harps, and he's now switched on to it. And he's a different character to the other two fellas, but between the three of them, like, they're top fellas, like, and top fit players too, like, really, really top end players. Like.
What do you mean by different character?
Well, the Brendan and Patter would Ben and Patter would study football inside out, I would say. They would ending. While Gavin, you could be in the dressing room with Gavin and he'd be joking and laughing, and you know, he's actually, you need them type of fellas, you know, he's the best of fella, and then he's the best I ever seen. If he can be joking and laughing, and then next thing he just can switch it on while everybody else is trying to gear up, you know, maybe an hour out from a game or whatever. He's next thing he just flicks on, and that's it, like he's gone. But he's just a different character. But you need all them different types of sorts, and the three of them together makes a great mix for us, though.
And the three of them absolutely fly. And I had a quick chat with Gavin after the game the last day, absolute gentleman, I have to say, and just doing really well, and the two lads, absolutely fantastic. Stephen, not to get into the structure of the championship too much, it's constant at this stage, national, locally, it's probably nauseating, but just in terms of Donegal winning on Saturday, Tyrone winning on Sunday, okay? What, as a player, as an inter-county player, can be done? It's really short turnaround now for both teams, okay? It's a day shorter for Tyrone, but is there much can be done this week, Stephen?
Physically, there won't be a lot done this week. You know, they've that done, like. So this week it'll be more about loading information into them. You know, Jim would obviously been tracking Throne, and he probably would have been tracking Cavan, but I'm sure he was tracking Throne as well, you know, during the year. So he'd be offloading them with information more so than physical prep this week. And I would say they'll be doing light work on the pitch, but it'll be more information based, I would say, studying them out, what they're going to do, and then they'll probably just be doing different branches of what they were on, you know, doing work on Derry. They'll be doing different branches of that to suit their own, you know, because every team in every game is different. Like. So he'll be tailoring it to suit their own, but they'll be trying to get themselves right physically wise. But with both teams in that there bracket, I don't think that's a major thing now, because their own probably are actually slightly more soft than us, but it'll be more a week of information and recovery, I would say, more so than anything, you know.
In any sport, we see it in rugby and soccer, when a team has a huge win, we even saw it in the Rugby World Cup. You see it sometimes Champions League midweek, I know it's a shorter thing, they're professional. So is the emotional, getting up emotionally as complex, maybe as physically? Is that fair to say?
Probably, yeah. The mental factor would probably be the biggest one. That was obviously a super performance by the lads against Derry. So they're obviously on a high. There's no point hiding that. But it's trying to get them, I'm not saying take them off the high, but it's trying to get them back onto, you know, that they can come back down, because they'll need to come back up again. But Throne's going to be in a very similar spot, because they had a titanic ending to that Cavan game, and their team, bar maybe 6-7, is pretty young team. So they're going to have the same problem. So for both teams, it's probably, it's a wee bit too tight, obviously, we all know that. But for both of them, they're going to have a lot of the same stuff this week, and it's probably who's going to deal best with that, you know, because they're, relatively speaking, two new teams, as in their makeup and that, you know.
What did you make of us on Saturday, only overall, and what did you think of Tyrone on Sunday?
I thought Donegal were excellent, Paddy, you know, probably... You know, you'd have to say we didn't really see it coming. And first 10 minutes as well, I think we were 3-1 down. You were saying, you know, geez, you know, it's going to pan out, it's going to be tight. But, you know, once we got the first goal, and then once we got the second goal after half time, I think it made it 2-8 to 10, you could just see, you know, the confidence going through them and the belief. You just knew that Jim was telling them that this was going to happen, you know, more than in 2014 with the Dublin game. You know, he would be telling them about these scenarios. If you do this, you know, we will. And sure, the game was over with about 10 minutes to go. You know, it was comfortable. You know, Shane McGuigan kicked a couple of points near the end to make the score a bit respectable. But, you know, Donegal were way on top. And then it just seemed the last maybe 20 minutes of the Tyrone Cavan game. And I think it was 1-16 to 1-8 when I tuned in. And then Cavan got the two goals. And you'd have to say Tyrone were on the ropes, and I would say definitely didn't want extra time, but came through it, Paddy, which will be good for them, you know what I mean? They have a short turnaround, as Stephen says, you know, they have a day less than us, and they went extra time, but it might not be a bad thing because both teams will not be doing much this week anyway, as Stephen said earlier in that. So it's one to look forward to, you know what I mean? We're on a high and that, and as you said yourself, you know, you have to watch that as well.
I thought, Stephen, the post-match narrative focused on Derry dropping balls short. I mean, all dropped load shorts as well. They were talking about Derry scoring chances as high as Donegal, and obviously there was huge focus on Oran Lynch, but I thought Donegal were in complete control, Stephen. Even some of those, like, I was listening back to the commentary, Mark McHugh, myself and Peter Campbell, because a lot, Mark said about 10 minutes into the second half, I think it was Glass's miss, or there was one other, Stephen, and he was like, these are under pressure. These boys are under pressure. They're panicking. They're taking on shots, Stephen. Rather than it being maybe as close, does that make sense? So Donegal had rattled Derry very early on.
Yeah, they'd kind of obviously rattled them and they'd obviously caught them, but I actually thought that too early in the second half. It kind of brought me back a wee bit in that you could see the Derry team, they were nearly draining. They were draining in front of your eyes with ideas. You know, their ideas seemed to be going blank. And that brought me back to, you know, years ago with Donegal. They used to just leave teams with maybe 15, 20 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, where teams really didn't know where to go or what to try next. And they were drained. And you could see Derry, I thought at one stage Derry looked like they were just clueless. For a Derry team, that Derry team, I think, keep the, you know, during the league and even last year, they keep the ball well. They always make the right decisions, and fellas like Conor Glass and that. And I thought, I couldn't believe some of the, you know, decisions and how lackluster or clueless they looked, which was a testament to the way the Donegal boys had set up and hit them. And it left Derry that I thought the game was completely dead with maybe 15 to go easily, you know that.
And that's fair enough, Stephen. And I'm going to ask you the same question. Only Tyrone have a decision to make this week, don't they? Tyrone's a county I cannot figure out, and I've watched quite a lot of them. They're so Jekyll and Hyde. They can be so good. Then they can be so poor. I feel at times there's nothing in between. Now, Tyrone people will tell me they're going through transition. I don't really love that word. But look, and thanks to Eunan Lindsay, as always, on Twitter for the stats, 9 debutants the last day. Which is, that is a huge turnover. That is transition. You never really know what you're going to get from the money. But they have a decision to make in, they're going to watch the Derry game 10 times this week, 100 times this week. And not even Lynch joining the thing. Like, for Patton's kickouts, is there a chance that Tyrone completely drop off Patton? Is there a chance to give Donegal them? Because we know about the flick-ons. Even if Lynch had to stay in goals, Donegal still would have won those flick-ons. They still would have been goal chances, maybe not as much. Or do you think only we might see a hybrid system? Because if Tyrone don't completely press Donegal's kick-out, Donegal's strength, obviously, one of their key themes is the actual kick-out from Sean Patton. Number two, you'd argue Donegal's next one is their running game. So they're probably not going to just want to give away primary possession every time to Tyrone.
Brian Doerr and them, they're going to be looking at Patton, you know, because he's a huge asset for Donegal, you know, and him coming off the last day, you know, would be a bit of a worry in one way. But we've seen with Gavin, when he went in for the last 15 minutes, it was no bother to him, you know what I mean? Now, they'll definitely be spooked by the big, both of them have a big boot, you know what I mean? If Patton, you know, if it was a muscle injury, it's hard to come back within 7 days and that, but they'll definitely look at, they have big Brian Kennedy in the middle of the field. Con Kilpatrick, you know, is another big man for them, but he hasn't played.
He's been injured. He got
injured about 6 or 7 weeks ago. You do say they're Jekyll and Hyde, which they are, which makes them dangerous, Paddy, because Michael McKiernan came back the last day and he got minutes in. Kieran McGeary came back the last day and he got minutes. Michael O'Neill came off the bench. Cal McShane came off the bench. You know, that's four big players for them. Now, they're missing Kilpatrick. They're missing Peter Hart and they're missing Conor Myler. You know, and they would be three huge players still for them. And as you mentioned, they won the All-Ireland under 20 2 years ago and they are filtering them boys through. But I still think Paddy, Tyrone will be dangerous on Sunday. They might decide to give up the kick out for a while. They might decide to press. You know what I mean? I don't think Niall Morgan will be doing what Oran Lynch was doing. You know, and you would have heard Jim saying as well in the in the post match interview, like when Donegal got the chance to transition, you know, they're few and far between now and them games. You're looking for the turnover round about your own 45 or the middle of the pitch, and you're gone. You know, your Shane O'Donnells, your Niall O'Donnells, your Kieran Moores, they're all heading up the field, and they're looking at minimum. They're looking at a goal every time or a minimum point. You know what I mean? Tyrone will be watching that. You know, we're not going to get probably four goals against Tyrone on Sunday. If we do, we're going to beat them out the gate. But you know, more than watching Derry on Sunday, you would have to say that Mickey Hart and Gavin Devlin on the line, you know, after the first goal, fair enough, as this is my type. But after the second goal, you'd be saying, look at how Jim, does any goal team has to sussed out? Stay in your goals. You know what I mean? You know, I think Mickey called the horse Devlin the best coach in Ireland, you know, a week before the Donegal game. If that was happening in a club game, what happened out in Celtic Park, they'd be roaring at you over the fence, you know what I mean? Paul Griffin would be roaring at Stephen, telling him to keep his goalkeeper in, you know what I mean? So, you know, Tyrone have to be smart as well.
Derry were that set in their ways. It left Jim, I would say that he, you know, Derry have set plays, have set, they don't change their ways much. And Mickey Hart, down through his time, he doesn't change his ways. You know, he has full confidence that he's going to beat what's ahead of him with his way of playing and with his players. So I think, and I think it's a factor why Jim always gets upper hand on Mickey, that Mickey is... In a way, he's that good at his coaching, but he's also very predictable in that he fine tunes the team so much that they don't deviate. And the keeper was a part of that, and obviously the keeper was creating extra men in league games and that. But Jim seen that as obviously the chance to go at them, and that was their chance to go for them. And the fact he probably had. With Sean Patton, Jim probably had the best keeper, as in that distance wise in Ireland, to get them. Like I can't think of another keeper in Ireland that would get the distance plus the accuracy that Donegal have with Patton. So I don't know, did Derry slightly underestimate Patton's distance? Because at times you could see, you know, Conor Glass and Brendan Rodgers getting caught 10, 15 metres, you know, on the goal side of it. But surely it should have been caught, like, because Donegal should have had a goal before their first goal. Remember when they
exactly. got
a goal
yeah.
and they took the point. Like, so how many times do you let something happen? And is it a stubbornness part on Mickey Hart? I would question, like, or is I don't know. But how many times do you let something happen before somebody says, "Hold on, here we have to stop"? La,
we're definitely not going to see that from Tyrone as much. Now, Neil Morgan joined the play. I think it was Russ Common. He was unbelievable. He was. Seamus Moynihan at number three, number six. He was Lionel Messi, and he was the best goalkeeper of all time, all in one game. But at the same time, do you see it being a hybrid system? Do you see Donegal, Carroll Kane? We were talking a number of days ago after the Donegal Derry game, and he's like, Tyrone are going to have to be obsessed with Donegal's kick out now. And it may lead to confusion on their part because of the press high. Donegal's runners are, like, we've about 500 half forwards playing for us. It's unbelievable. We're just producing half forwards out of a factory at the moment. Shane O'Donnell's coming back. He's unbelievable. Patter Mogan, incredible. Kieran Moore, we've seen Ryan McHugh the last day, just rolling back the years. What do you see Tyrone doing there?
I'd be shocked if they don't go into a low block.
Okay.
And kill that out. And at times, I think they'll try to push the kick out as in, you know, at certain stages or at certain plays that, you know, that they can get at it. They might try to push it with a caution of watching the ball at the top. But I'd be shocked at the start of the game if they try to go full on court press and take that gamble. I would be thinking they'd be thinking, right, let's kill the space in behind. Like Sean Patton's kick out was obviously Donegal's main weapon. The running game off it then played into it. So if you're throwing, would you not be thinking, right, Donegal's two main weapons was their kick out and their running game. So how do you stop that? Only clog it up and then counter Donegal, you know? So I'd be shocked if they don't start like that and feel their way into the game, you know? Because if you let Donegal get ahead of you like Derry did then after the goals, what do you do then? You have to come out and chase them, and then once you do that, then you're playing the cat and mouse game with them.
Donegal, what I'm finding after a couple of games this year, and McGuinness said one swallow doesn't make a summer. Obviously, he's spot on. We're still actually, I suppose, in spring. But ever after every game, there's a brilliant balance I'm finding, Stephen. Now, I know people will say we're still missing loads of man markers, etc. But the lads going back there are doing all the forwards I'm mentioning are all doing fine. There looks to be a brilliant balance to the team. Like, people were talking even after the league final against Armagh about who was good. And there was loads of even disagreements leaving Derry the last day who was good. I honestly spoke to seven coaches, and they all had a different man of the match after the game the last day. I'm actually feeling a little bit bad on a podcast sometimes because I'm naming out four or five lads when you should be. Like, Patton is in incredible form. I think it's just the low trajectory of strikes. It's just beautiful. Brendan McCall has missed so much time, and he comes back and he looks the second coming, as I said, of Seamus Moynihan or Neil McGee. Patter Morgan was so good the last day, and you even forget to mention him. Mark Curran's really Tigers, and again, I'm naming them. And Shane O'Donnell at number seven. I mean, where did that come out of? Like, there's just so many. It looks, whatever happens, and we could lose Sunday, Stephen, because it's a new championship. Anything can happen. It's quick fire, but they've all just seemed to improve so much in a short period of time.
Oh, drastically. And all them fellas that you were mentioning, the Shane O'Donnell, Patter Morgan, Brent McCall,
Niall O'Donnell as well.
Niall O'Donnell. Like, the common denominator there is savage pace, like, and Kieran Moore's right at the top of that with his pace. Like you see Kieran Moore and Brent McCall and Mark Curran comes out very quick as well. You see them boys when they get the ball in the full back lane, they're out. And the next thing, the same with Patter Morgan and Shane O'Donnell. Like, them boys are taking you from the 21-meter line up to the far 45 in seconds. Like, so pace is a massive part of all them ball players that you're mentioning there, and they're all very comfortable on the ball because they're naturally, you know, outfield players. Like, so that they're used to being on the ball, they're comfortable, and they're not panicking, you know. So that has been a big thing, I think.
That's why, Stephen, I'm sure if I'm obsessed with the McGuinness, definitely must be. A lot of people outside Donegal, maybe Ulster, he's not played a huge amount of senior inter-county yet. Really good last year. Keelan McColgan is a guy that I think McGuinness is just going to absolutely be desperate to get back to show nationally what he's about. Because those players you mentioned, up, down, pace, he has it all. And of course, Owen Van Gallagher. It could be exciting if we stay injury-free and get a couple of those lads back as well, because they are just caricatures of what McGuinness wants.
Oh, yeah. Owen Bann would be the Rolls Royce. Like, Owen Bann's pace is frightening. And then his solo is so neat, he doesn't actually give you a chance to tackle because the ball barely leaves him, if you notice. I mean, Keelan McColgan's very close to him in that regard. But Owen Bann, out of that whole squad, like, we played him in the championship last year. And once he takes off, like, you cannot get near him. Like, and then his solo and his footwork and his ball skills are that neat. He doesn't give you a chance, as in, you know, he's not going to slip up. So if Jim can get the two of them back in, I don't know how far away they are. Obviously, now, it would be exciting with the pace, though. And especially the further you could get, as in towards Croke Park. Like, you can imagine them fellas coming full tilt in Croke Park. It would be exciting, though.
What have you made of Moore so far? Obviously, we know him from club championships over the years. Maybe, you know, people living in Dublin or abroad, maybe for them he's just completely new player and they're like, where did this guy come out? Because people are not at home on the ground all the time, but he's so good, isn't he? And so versatile.
And he's a racehorse. Like, he's literally has not 100 mile an hour. It's crazy how quick he is. And funny you say that. Like, he's not somebody that would have been on the top of my radar, we've actually played St. Union's last 3 years in a row in the championship. And even last year, we played them at O'Donnell Park and we were trying to tie up your Niall O'Donnells and everything. Next thing, your buck, Kieran Moore was coming and he was going past people. And you're thinking yourself, were you training at all? He's moving that quick and he's gliding when he's going over the ground. Like, and then he's got power behind it too. And he's got size. Like, so he's, I don't know where his potential ceiling could be, like, but he's going to be very, very, very scary for teams in time to come once the young fella gets more confidence and experience behind him, you know.
One guy that always has confidence only is Darragh Canavan. He's their star man, isn't he? He's the key man. He's the conductor of the orchestra, the author of basically every Tyrone moment. What does Jim McGuinness and Donegal do with this guy? You do get the feeling if Donegal can look after Darragh Canavan, Darren McCurry, it'll be a good start. It'll be a good starting point. Who do you see Donegal going with on Canavan?
Darragh Canavan and Darren McCurry, yeah. They're a good double act, Paddy. No more than what we're talking about there, you know, you're on about the players that we have. You would probably say that Mark Curran and Brendan McCall are more or less our two man markers, you know, because if you go with the team last week, you know, Morgan at four and him, Morgan was four, McHugh five, Keelan McGonigal six, Shane O'Donnell seven, your two midfielders, you know, they're not going to mark, they're marking their men. And their safety and numbers for them, but you know you would expect Mark Curran, he picked him up last year in the championship game, that he'd pick up Darragh Canavan, Cole probably go on to McCurry, Kieran Moore had to go on Ethan Doherty the last day. You know, Cal McShane will be a handful when he comes in. You know what I mean? Rory Canavan is there, but no more than what you were talking. You know, I'd be happy enough. Curran will probably pick up one in McCall, but what we have then is, you know. Once Morgan and McHugh and McGonigal, like Keelan McGonigal kicked the equaliser against Armagh in the league final, and then he got the last pass to Aaron Doherty, they're all comfortable going forward.
He's so
you
good.
You know, all them defenders and that. Whereas before this, Paddy, what was happening, you know, when defenders got the ball, some of them would go up to the 45, they would get the nosebleed and turn back and fist it to the fella behind them. But that's not the way, that's not the game that's been played nowadays. You know, in the COVID game of 2021 against Derry, when Rory Gallagher was manager, those 200 people in McCool Park, you could hear Rory telling his team to give the ball to a certain player, let him have that ball, you know, and let him have it. And when Ryan McHugh got the ball, he would be shouting at them to double up. That can't happen anymore because every player that we have is comfortable on the ball. You know, if a Shane O'Donnell gets it at hour 45, he's going to take off and he's only one thing on his mind, and that's to get a score. And then he has Darragh Wheel coming off him, Niall O'Donnell, you know, all these players. And you mentioned Owen Bann and Keelan McColgan. They're set for that game as well. So we probably have two man markers, as I say, Curran and McCall, but the system will deal with the other players. You know what I mean? There's safety in numbers because everybody's back more or less at the 45, and you're marking solely the defence is shifting across from one side to the other. So you don't have to be an expert defender. So that's why Jim has so many half forwards that we would call them, but we're used to seeing them in Donegal in his team. So that when they're able to break up the field, as I say, the defenders of old were a wee bit nervous when they went to the other 45. That's not it anymore. So to answer your question, I think it's Curran and McCall for their two main men. Moore will pick up somebody. And after that, as I say, you know, there's safety in numbers, you know, when they're all back, Paddy. You understand what I mean?
Absolutely. Actually, if it was 1985 or 1990, the old days, Stephen, what position would Patter Morgan be? Would he be wing forward or wing back?
I'm sure no, they probably be ended up somewhere in the corner forward, I'd say, because of his size back in the day. He can play there too. That's the funny thing about it. He's probably his natural position is probably a half back, you know. Half back, wing back would probably be his most natural position, but like he literally can play. We played him between full forward, centre forward. You can play him in around midfield, you can play him in the half back. He's your typical current Inti County player. Like he literally can play anywhere. And the fact now he's actually gone back in the corner back at times and been caught there. Marking shows you that he can do it any position, you know.
What kind of games are going to be, Stephen? Are we going to see trench warfare? Are we going to see it both teams sussing each other out? As you said, low block maybe for 15, 20 minutes, then gradually maybe opens up a little bit?
I would think along them lines. I can't see it, you know, and can't see any team getting away that quick at the start. Like I would say Jim and them would be they'd be more worried about Darragh Canavan and McCurry than they would have been with McGuigan and Lachlan Murray and O'Loughlin, you know, because them Shane McGuigan was the perfect match for Ben McCall in regards to size, speed, strength. Lachlan Murray was ideal for fellas like Kieran Moore, Mark Curran. You know, while McCurry and Darragh Canavan are smaller forwards, which at times can be an awkward mark for the you know, like if you look at Mark Curran and Brian McCall and Kieran Moore, they're all pretty big men, like they're all up on the 6 foot mark, you know. And it can be harder marking a smaller person. So I would say Jim will be, you know, trying to keep, as Oni was saying there, keep the system. So he'd be keeping it cagey in that regard. He'll not want Darragh Canavan getting ahead of steam either, you know, because Darragh Canavan seems to be the key for them.
Oni, how do you think it'll pan out? What will the game look like?
Probably, as Stephen was saying, you know, it would be a big shock then for Tyrone to come at us, you know what I mean? Probably teams do tend to feel each other out at the start at games now, you know, more, you know, first, like everybody, I find that most teams are playing the same way, you know. Cork took on Kerry last week and they were well in the game for a while. You know, the first half, especially the first 15, 20 minutes is very much like that. But the game does tend to open up and the second half and that, you know, like Tyrone and Cavan and that, I think that's bringing up, took a bit to Gaelic football now, is the long kick out and the flick on and the mad run then to get the goal when you have that chance, because teams have loads of slow attacks, what they call them, you know what I mean? So when you get a chance to get a break, you know, get a flick on from a kick out, the other team is not set and you have the chance to get your goal in that. And I think it's a good feature now, and we have two of the best, or probably three of the best. We don't know who's going to play yet or whatever, but between Morgan, Patton and Mulroney, you know, that's probably the, you know, let's be honest, Morgan and Patton are probably the best two in Ireland, you know, at the minute.
I actually, my son's party was on Sunday, so I didn't actually get watching the game back until Monday, and you both know, sometimes you're at a game and then you watch it on telly, sometimes it can be a completely different game. Just big shout out to Darryl Whale. When you're at the game, we actually thought, he just kicked it into an empty net. He really took them well. Stephen, didn't he? You know, and he sort of like he's. I know he kicked it into an empty net. I know, Stephen, you do it as well, but he was so calm and composed, wasn't he?
Oh, he's very, yeah. That's his target, what he's hitting, as in getting it over the keeper and onto the crossbar. His target there is small, like, and the fact that
and pace wise, I would imagine, yeah.
And like there's moving parts and all this. He's moving, the keeper's moving back. I was just saying, that's probably, I think Dara plays a wee bit of soccer. I would say that's a wee bit of the soccer in him too. But the fact he done it against in the league against Fermanagh too just shows you it's no fluke with him. And the way he sets himself to kick them, actually, it's the same set if you watch him when he's going to lob it. He's coming in and he's side footing it. But no, he executed them brilliant. And I actually enjoyed the way him and even Oisin Gallen, that's one thing I did pick up on, and I enjoyed the way they celebrated their goals. You know, they were, I thought, and I'm only guessing here, I think it was a pre-spoken about thing that if once they would obviously been talking about, I'm guessing here that they were talking about getting these goals and getting the flick-ons, and I would be guessing that Jim was telling them, we're going to get 2-3 goals on these boys, and we're going to let them know that we know that, you know. So I would, and I enjoyed the way, if you watch Galen, you watch Darragh Boy, they were finger wagging, they were laughing, more or less, they were driving it into Derry.
You'd be
which
all...
was, sorry. I don't know, well, I'd be all for it. The boy, you know, they're enjoying it, like, they were enjoying it, and what Oni kind of touched on earlier, they'd have been doing a lot of work on that kind of stuff. And Jim would have been preaching to them that this is going to happen and we're going to get goals and we're going to get goals. And next thing the boys are seeing, it's unfolding in front of their eyes, and they couldn't get enough of it. It felt like they couldn't get enough, and they were sowing it into Derry at a stage. And I enjoyed that part of it, because you could see them players, obviously, a lot of them went through a tough season last year. So you could see them nearly coming out of their skin again, you know, the Division 2 league was good and they done what they had to do, but the probably ghosts of last year were still, you know, they're still there in their own head. But it felt like, you know, as the game was going on, they were coming out of that, they were coming out of their skin in that regard, and they were just, it felt like they were coming on to a new lease of life. That's what it felt like looking on, and
Well, I couldn't concur with you more. And obviously not playing and not being involved in that capacity, but and if they lose on Sunday, they lose on Sunday, but the atmosphere in general is just night and day on and off the pitch. It's just brilliant. Like, and your own club woman there, Mary Coughlin, and Kieran Kelly, they're just doing brilliant work on the county board as well. And it's just, honestly, it's brilliant. I actually completely agree with you. I think it's manifesting itself in so many other ways, and I'm all for that celebration as well. I think he was an Irish under-18 soccer captain, Darrell Boyle. That's why
he was. Yeah.
Was it? I would say you're dead. I'm all for the goal celebration, and Stephen said he was too. I'd say you hate them, though, and you'd be old school, like. You'd be old school.
Oh, no, geez, I played soccer for years. I centre forward, Paddy, you know, so knocking them in as well. So it was all for that all celebration as well. But the best thing for me, if you watch the first goal that he got, Chrissy McCaig, who should have went back to cover the goals, he kept watching Gallen. And when Darrell Boyle kicks for the goal, he is just back to O'Boyle, still watching Oisin Gallen. Now, if he had ran back to cover the goals, fair enough, Owen Lynch was running back. Now, he wasn't running back very fast either, but he might have been able to get to Gallen and maybe to slow him up or whatever. But McCaig just turned it. It was, you know, I don't know. It was really naive. Like, the first thing, when the goalie was out, the first thing anybody does is go back and guard the goals. He just kept watching Oisin Gallen or whatever, and it was left to O'Boyle then. Like I say, the goal might have come anyway because Dara would have given it to Oisin. But you just don't know. Maybe a wee fumble might have been enough then for Owen Lynch to get back to turn Gallen some way, and it might not come. But I just thought it was strange. You know, that's strange when you watch it. Just.
Yeah, that's why I kind of had issues with people are like saying, well, if Lynch was in goals, the Donegal, the chance wouldn't have happened at all. I'm like, it still would have been like a 3-on-2 or a 3-on-2, even a 3-on-3. But our three, obviously, we have a man in possession and it turns into a 3-on-3, but we've complete control over that because we're in possession. I think some of the narrative around it probably looked worse than, yeah, it would have manifested itself. That was my. Can I just ask you before our predictions? Before the Derry game, and again, it's easy for us lads on the outside, whether you're supporter, media, whoever it is, okay, and supporters. I was the mindset, subconsciously or otherwise, going into it, I did think Derry would beat us. Not by much, but I did think Derry would beat us. So, and that's fine. Most people did. The bookies did. Everybody did. And I was thinking, you know what? If we lose narrowly, we are 4 weeks, right? 18th of May, I think we're out next. We would have been out next. And then I'm thinking, with the injuries that we have, because fair enough, we got a couple of lads back the last day, but they have a huge amount of game time, and extra kudos to the likes of Jason McGee and Brendan McCall for that. And I was thinking 4 week break. But it's funny how the mindset just completely shifts, because now you're thinking, taking out Derry, if we, you know, if we beat Tyrone, if, and it's a huge if, but I think it's a huge ask again, personally speaking. You'd have a 2 week break then to an Ulster final. And then you're thinking, because you've beaten Derry, well, hang on a second here. If you win Ulster, you might get, here's me the giddy fan now, you might get the seed one. And if you get the seed one, you'll avoid Kerry, Dublin, and the Connacht champions. So Galway or Mayo. Let's just say Mayo. So it's kind of whole thing shifted, hasn't it? Only in terms of, we all just really hope now they go on and win Ulster. From perhaps we were careful about thinking those things a couple of, now winning an Ulster turns into a huge carrot, doesn't it?
Oh, it does for that group now, Paddy. Yeah, after beating Derry, they'll be going after the Ulster title now. I'm the same as you. I think it'll be tough on Sunday as well. And then if they get through that, probably Armagh, you know, that's before you get to the round robin. You know, the jury will be out as the season goes on. You know, if Derry happen to go further than us this year,
that's going to take a couple of years. We need a bigger sample size to see maybe in 5 years' time, well, this works, this doesn't work. We don't care about that. Maybe the gradual erosion of the provincials eventually. We don't know.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I think it would, because the provincials are dead anyway, and Leinster and Munster as Ulster and probably maybe Connacht to a lesser extent is keeping it going. But like, if we beat Derry and beat Tyrone and maybe lost to Armagh in the Ulster final, we could get a very tough group then on the round robin, because we would be in with a provincial winner. You could be in with Derry again. You know, you can meet them again in that round robin and that. So it's a tricky one. Derry now are probably not out, as you said, to the 18th of May. The All-Ireland final is at the end of July. You'd be talking about 8 to 10 weeks. And, you know, they have 4 weeks off now where they can do a bit of work. They're going to land in the round robin series. Only one team goes out of your group, Paddy, so they're guaranteed to make it through, you know, to the next stage as well. So it will be interesting because Donegal, you know, that's tough games you're playing before you get anywhere near the All Ireland series. You know, you understand what I mean?
I do, of course. It's tough, isn't it, Stephen? That's why, yeah. I was thinking, and you would know from Jim, that's why winning Ulster, it'll be something tangible for the group to have, even if the season doesn't go extremely long, but it's something they can reflect back on and go here. Like, I would imagine he's just absolutely now obsessed with winning Ulster, Stephen.
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't be, well, he might be in the background, but he'd be, their whole thing would be, why look down the line? Like, why look at, you know, why look at seeds and why look at groups now? Like, you know, there's no point in it. Like this game on Sunday against Throne, it's going to be obviously packed again, massive game, big rivalry. Like that game will take the team on, you know, they could be going to a group stage game maybe against Westmeath, or they could be going a group stage game against Roscommon, and you might have a crowd that's dead. Like, you know, what they'll gain from these type of games is maybe worth two or three of the group games. And this team's only on the start of a journey, like, and they're only learning about themselves. Like, so these days are priceless for them. Like, so if they obviously can get overthrown and get to experience another Ulster final, which a lot of them has, to be fair, but it's a different team now, even though some of them have Ulster medals at, it's a different setup and different team. So their whole thing would be, you know, obviously, Throne's a massive one, but I would say they'd have no worrying about seeds or group stages. Like, you'll take that as it comes. Derry might be looking at a bigger picture, but sometimes you look too far down the road. And what happens if Derry slip into a quarter final and get knocked out? What's going to happen? Only the pressure comes on, you know. So, no, the Donegal, I think, will be just enjoying themselves now as it goes, as in rolling into big days and hoping that they'll get that 2 week break and go to an Ulster final if they can get overthrown, obviously, you know.
Couldn't actually agree more. And I think wherever Derry finish up this year, the narrative is quick, and it's going to be a stupid one where it's going to be like, I think wherever Derry finish up this year, it's going to be used as an example, but it could be completely then different again next year. So let's say Derry go on and win the All Ireland. Well, look, the provincials waste the time.
I know.
And equally, if Derry lose, as Stephen said, and I agree, if Derry lose in the quarter, like, you know, yeah, they didn't get momentum from that. And that's kind of how the narrative.
The winners write it.
The winners write the
narrative. Nicky Hart, the kid.
Yeah, absolutely. No. You're 100% right. Like, and yeah, as a player, would you have liked it? 2 week break or after a big win, would you like that either? Which would you prefer?
I would say now, to be fair to the Throne and Donegal players, to be fair in them, they would have needed, you know, the weekend off now this weekend and then go at it, like, you, because the them fellas, like the even I see now on the other side of things, like when you're a fan, you don't really have time to talk about the Derry game. You're nearly way on past it. You're talking about the Throne game, you know. You don't get time to digest this, and then, so, you know, to be fair to them big teams and like them boys are putting on, every team's putting in massive work training. Like, I wouldn't like to see what number nights them teams are out training, and to make them play on a Saturday or Sunday and then out again the following Sunday, you know, and it's really not fair in that regard, you know, and I don't see who it serves purpose to, like, because people don't get time to chat about the good days as in the Derry result, because you just don't have time. It's straight into the Throne game, and the players don't really have time to come back down off a high, you know, and get back up again. They're kind of just, like, before they know it, it's Friday again, and Saturday, next thing it's Saturday morning, and the boys are probably meeting in Donegal Town away on the bus again. You know, it's very quick turnaround. Like,
I'll be completely honest, I've actually not really, I heard McGuinness in that, but you're actually getting me thinking. I have the two of yous on here now, and to be honest with you, because we do the podcast straight after the game, but that's so instant. You haven't seen it back. People are listening going, what are you seeing that for? You haven't actually seen the game back. You're just going from what you see. And I could stand here tonight, sit here tonight and talk to yous for 3 hours about the Donegal Derry game, because it's just happened, and it's rare you get days like that. I genuinely, I think we keep going back to the Derry game. It's literally a couple of hours ago, basically. And here we are talking about a completely new team. And I can't imagine what that likes for management. Only 2 weeks would have been nice, wouldn't it? I still want to talk, even in my staff room, we're still talking about the Derry game. We're like, oh yeah, we've Tyrone again Sunday. And even people are saying to me, where's that game on Sunday? I'm like, Celtic Park again. Because they're still completely immersed in the game that's gone. And that's us. Nobody cares about me or any, you know, the management team is first and foremost.
No, you're 100% right. No, we want to talk to you about it as well because it was so good in that. But even today, you know, when you're meeting people, you know, you're still talking about the Derry game and that, and it'll be tomorrow. And 2 weeks probably would be ideal. Maybe management teams would probably want maybe an extra week in that, but two weeks would be ideal. 1 week to talk about our victory about Derry, and then the following week then to be for the lead up to the Tyrone game. You would think that would be ideal because it's tough. Like the you know, Jim mentioned it on Saturday and Duggar mentioned on Sunday that they're tough championship games. Like they'll be sore till Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, you know, whatever, depending on what day the game was on and that. But they're tough games, and they're just, as Stephen said earlier in the programme, you know, they're just feeding them information this week because there's very little that you can do. And if you pick up a knock now, you know, if you got a muscle injury now, you could be missing a lot of the championship, Paddy, you know, because it's so condensed in that. And look at the managers have been banging that drum since the start of the league. You know, it's not that fair on the players and that, but it is what it is now. But to answer your question, yeah, the 2 week break would be great to bask in the glory of the Derry victory and then enjoy the lead up to the Tyrone.
Call it, Oney?
Donegal for me after last Saturday, you couldn't go against it, Paddy.
Yeah, Stephen.
I'll go for Donegal, but I'm gonna say maybe after extra time. I think it'll be that tight.
It's interesting. I think Donegal will be a point or two. And sometimes I split. I didn't have somebody from Tyrone and Donegal, but after the win on Sunday and the huge listenership this year from Donegal, do you know what? I just felt like talking to Donegal people this week. You know, I couldn't be bothered talking to somebody else this week. So just a very quick word on the 20s, only sickening defeat. I actually thought time was up, played really well, organized first half. That's a very good Derry team. And disappointing, wasn't it? Yeah, they've done so well. They played really well. So brilliant, really well,
Paddy, especially in the first half, you know, and there were 3 points up at half time. Probably should have been maybe further ahead. And Derry really came out of at the start of the second half. I think they had us for 1-4 in the first 10 minutes. And we're 3 points down then, maybe 5 minutes ago, and managed to get it back level. You know, Keane McMenamin came off the bench and kicked a point. Kevin Lynch came off the bench and kicked the leveler for us. And then, as you say, there was one last attack and Derry got up the field and the ball was kicked over the bar. Hey, the ref blew the whistle and we were out. And they've had a really good campaign. You know, it was a round robin series. They had no Leo Murphy Cup this year, but they were guaranteed, you know, I think 3 championship matches in their group. And then they ended up with a home semi-final because they beat Cavan, they beat Armagh, and they beat Fermanagh. So they got a lot of game time. And I know there's a lot of them, Paddy, underage next year again, you know. But they'll be disappointed because to get a home semi-final, you know, and to be so close, they'll be kicking themselves. We just know, and I know from my own involvement, but the 20s this past few years, Derry and Tyrone they're always strong at that level, Paddy. And we did slip back a wee bit in Donegal, but I think we're showing signs again. The minor team beat Tyrone 2 weeks ago. And look, there was only a kick of the ball between ourselves and Derry there tonight. So we're getting closer to them again. But no, the boys, the under 20 boys will be disappointed now, but that's the way it goes.
There'll be a lot of people disappointed that your children won't be playing for their beloved Nivoras, famous son of Nivora, but look.
Watch this space.
My son won't even, if he's good, won't even playing for Donegal, so at least you will. But you know what? If he's actually good, I'm going to transfer him up. But if he takes after his father, he'll be in the reserves. So, Stephen, you've unfortunately fallen for the trick that I always tell people when they're coming on the podcast, 20, 25 minutes. I do actually mean it as well, but then it's just things just get a little bit out of hand. So I know you're a very busy man, and we're up in an hour now, I think. So they're going to be a brilliant manager. You're a fantastic player. Actually, just before I come up against, I like asking this, toughest opponent. I know people are, every time you do the podcast, people ask you, and then the podcast's over. Who's the best player? Sorry, two things. Best player you played with, Stephen, club or county, and the best player you played against, club or county.
Well, at the moment when I'm older, I tell you, I hate to see Brett McCall coming back to the end of a side, because when he comes near you, you're like, oh my god, you soon see your age creeping in. But now when you go back to my time, now you couldn't look no further. I used to have Neil McGee marking me training nights, and he was the best fullback in Ireland for years there, man. He was super electric. Nobody, you know, he was as hard as nails and as fair as two, like, and there was just super, super defender, you know. And then obviously on the other end of the pitch, then you had Michael and Colm, who I thought like were they're shooting and their ball one and everything was just top notch. Like the two of them. I couldn't split them because one of them was a lefty and one of them was a right footer, you know. But not two of them were super. And that period when we were training, that it was ridiculous. Like the you know what kind of level they were at, you know.
My toughest opponent, Stephen Griffin, our reserves versus St. Noll. Stephen, thanks so much for joining me here. I think we'd one or two interviews with you before, but for coming on like this. And Stephen, the bad news for you is if Donegal go well this year, you might have to block my number because I might be asking you on again. But I have a couple of different phones, so I'm all right. Stephen Griffin, Oney McGarvey, lads, I really, really appreciate you giving up your night time here to come on the Donegal GAA podcast. Thanks, lads.
No bother at all, Paddy.
Okay. Okay, thanks, lads. So, okay, that's it for this midweek edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. Once again, big shout out to Stephen Griffin and Oney McGarvey, to Austin O'Callaghan on production, our sponsors, Donegal Plumbing and Heat, Nolahi Road in Donegal Town, and you, our loyal listeners, and they keep saying you're tuning in your large numbers this season under the second coming of Jim McGuinness. Donegal Tyrone is live on Ocean FM with Mark McHugh, Peter Campbell and myself, and we definitely have the Donegal GAA podcast released on Sunday night. Hopefully, fingers crossed, it's a Donegal victory. Bye for now, stay safe, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.
FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.